Hello and welcome to the Funny Pearls podcast. I'm Philippa Hall, and together with Meda Jolly, I edit Funny Pearls, the online magazine dedicated to showcasing humour by women. This story is by Jo Varnish. The title is Bobby Briggs and the Wrong Ryan Miller Collection.
You think because I wasn't at football practice, I killed my girlfriend? The strain in his voice was as apparent as the grief strewn across his face. In his high school library, Bobby Briggs was leaning down over the sheriff, who sat at a table before him, wearing jeans, black boots, unlaced, a blood-red sweater under a black leather jacket, and flanked by two officers. Bobby Briggs was losing his temper. His dark brown hair was parted in the middle, framing his smooth, tanned face, which contorted in anger and disbelief. My cell phone rang, and I moved forward to read its screen. Maddie. Placing my bowl of popcorn on the table, I hit pause on the remote, rendering Bobby Briggs suspended mid-speech. Maddie was likely calling with an update on the Ryan Miller search. She had met Ryan Miller a month before at a Mardi Gras party in New Orleans, and drunken, flirtatious conversation had revealed that he lived near Atlanta, as does she. And further drinking and flirting had revealed a well-sculpted body and their sexual compatibility. I had heard how he carried her across the hotel room, how they had sex twice before sleeping a while, and then once more in the morning. Having not been brave enough to ask for his number, and pining for a few weeks, we were now 3 days into a cyber search, having learned there are 413 Ryan Millers in Georgia. We begin looking at Instagram and Facebook profiles, and I remained optimistic. Hey Mads, what's up? Ugh, my day is already shit. What happened? I dropped Josie at school 10 minutes late. 10 frigging minutes. Maddie was a single mother to her 16-year-old daughter, and the two of them shared a comradeship that I, childless at 40, both admired and engaged in vicariously. Go on. So I drop her and I'm driving off and she calls me on her cell phone. I'm late for work. I'm trying to rush, but I pick up. Seems the appropriate motherly response, I said, amused. So Josie says that attendance needs to speak to me to explain the tardiness. I mean, come on. So I'm pissed and I say, for fuck's sake, Josie, you're a straight A student. This is your first tardy.
First, I said.
Okay, third max, possibly fourth. And I say, those frigging women in that office have nothing better to do than get on you for being late by 10 fucking minutes? And there's this pause, and Josie says, Mom, so you're like on like speaker with the attendance ladies? Grinning, I responded, Ooh, that's rough. And I wrap my hand around my warm owl mug, bringing it to my lips for a sip of hot chocolate. Brutal. So how about you, Cheryl, love? How's New Jersey this morning? Are you at work already? Nope, I said. Remember, I have the 2 days off while the guy fixes the electrics in the basement and my garage door. Oh, of course. So how are you spending your days of leisure? Jesus, this traffic. I looked across the room at the pile of legal documents I was supposed to be reviewing for work, sitting untouched on the window seat where I had stacked them the night before. I'm watching Twin Peaks. Remember who I love from Twin Peaks? I knew she did. How could I forget? Bobby Briggs. We were, what, 14, 8th, 9th grade? You worshipped him. Yes! Well, the guy doing the garage door looks like him. A lot. That's what made me think to watch it. He's cute. Like Bobby Briggs cute.
garage door guy? You like him?
Yeah, he's hot. Seriously hot. Tall, dark hair, olive skin, good teeth. Tall, did I mention tall?
Cheryl, make it happen. You're basically celibate at this point.
You're not that far ahead of me.
My problem isn't landing the guy, Maddie said. It's being confident enough to follow through. So yes, given that there are likely moths in your panties by now, I am pretty far ahead.
Yeah, okay. Tell me about the elusive Ryan Miller, I said, ready for a change of subject.
Okay, so wrong Ryan Miller numbers 2, 4, and 5 have accepted my follow requests on Instagram. Now I can see that none of them are him, I just unfollow, right? I don't need a freaking wrong Ryan Miller collection.
No, that's so cold. Just follow them at least for a while.
Ever the bleeding heart, Cheryl. Okay, I have a couple of calls to make before I get to work, so enjoy Twin Peaks, and I want to hear that you've made progress with garage door Bobby Briggs. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
I put the phone back on the coffee table and leaned back into the sofa, bringing my feet up underneath me. Later that afternoon, after a brief trip to the supermarket and absolutely no progress with garage door Bobby Briggs, who had left for the day, I was rolling out pastry, turning it over to create a vaguely circular shape. The image Maddie had conjured of moths flying out of my panties made me smile, and my thoughts escaped to the last man who had shared my bed, my life, my heart. Clark, who had told me after my grandmother's funeral last year that we were breaking up. As I stood among the small, neat granite headstones, the larger sculptures, the old solemn trees, and the incongruous brazen red 15 miles per hour signs, he had told me, "I'll be leaving this weekend." And I had let his words go unanswered, let him walk away out of my field of vision, out of my house, and my future. Once the pie was full of fat cherries in their thick mixture, delicate pastry leaves decorating the top crust, foil protecting the edges, I placed it in the hot oven and let the house fill with the aroma of comfort. My phone beeped, signaling a text. Wiping my hands on my pants, I picked it up and saw that it was Maddie.
"Found him!"
with 2 exclamation marks.
"No way!"
I typed, opening the fridge to reach for a half-full bottle of Malbec. "I friend requested him on Facebook and he messaged to say he wants to meet for lunch. Tomorrow."
"Lunch? How are you going to sleep with him during work hours? Haha."
I pulled out the cork I had wedged in the bottle a couple of nights before with an unsatisfyingly quiet pop, but I enjoyed the glugging as I filled my glass. "No sex, not happening. I want this to last. Not shaving my legs to ensure no sex." I smiled and typed, "The last time you tried that, you texted me from some random's bathroom at 3 a.m. as you hacked your legs with his rusty razor." I sipped my wine. Its hearty aroma mingled with the smell of the pie.
"Those were the days, Cheryl. I have high hopes for this guy. No more sex for a few dates.
Call me after. Good night and good luck. XX." The next morning, as the sunlight fell through my bedroom window, casting oblongs of light across the wooden floor, I held up a few outfits in front of the mirror. Inspired by Maddie's success, I imagined being able to tell her I had secured a date with garage door Bobby Briggs. I chose a tight-ish white top with a few buttons, some of which I could leave undone to reveal a little cleavage, and my ripped jeans, which I told myself were casual enough for a day at home, although sexy, too. When I heard the scrape and roll of the side door of his van, I went downstairs and opened the front door. as he was still leaning inside his van, back to me. I had an awkward few minutes deciding whether I should call, "Hi there," or just stand at the door in the cold morning air, or close the door and pretend I hadn't even been there. I was about to choose the latter when I worried that he had sensed my presence and that disappearing now would be even weirder than the fact that I was standing at the front door to greet him as he rummaged around for his tools. "Oh, Miss Day, hi," he called from the driveway, pulling the sliding door half closed behind him.
"Cheryl, please."
I tried to sound seductive and breathy. In retrospect, it was probably too breathy. "Excuse me?" he shouted from across the lawn.
"I said call me Cheryl."
"Sorry, what's that?"
"I said it's Cheryl!"
I yelled way too loudly and slightly maniacally. I wondered if normal people had better volume control. "Hi, Cheryl." What was I supposed to yell now?
"Hi!"
A 2-second or 4-hour pause ensued.
"So, I'll just get started then?
Would you like some homemade cherry pie?" I gave what I hoped was a knowing and sensual smile, opening my mouth slightly and drawing my eyes to a half-closed position. Garage door Bobby Briggs broke into a grin, and my stomach rippled inside. He wiped his hair away from his face with the back of his hand, and I imagined him walking over to me and taking my face in those hands and pushing his lips against mine.
8 a.m. is a little early for me. Can I take a rain check?"
Shit, why had I used my best seduction card this early? Not just my best seduction card, but my only seduction card.
"Sure," I said quickly, stepping back inside and shutting the door.
I turned and leaned back against it, feeling its cool through my shirt. Maddie was right. I always wait for things to happen to me. But it was becoming apparent there was a reason for that. A loud knock on the door made me startle, my arms involuntarily flinging upwards. Opening the door again, I saw an amused garage door Bobby Briggs.
"Hello?" I said.
"Cheryl, you know I need to come inside to get down to the basement to fix the garage door." I pulled my phone out of my back pocket as an excellent ruse to pretend I had been distracted.
"Of course, I was just, yep, this way, well, you know the way."
As he went downstairs, I stepped into the kitchen and cut a huge slice of pie, plump cherries oozing out of the sides in their dark red velvety sauce. Josie had told me the last time I went to visit them in Atlanta that I tend to eat my feelings. I liked that phrase. I settled on the sofa to watch some Twin Peaks and eat some embarrassment in the form of decadent and delicious cherry pie. 3.5 episodes, a cup of coffee, and 2 slimmer slices of pie later, just as the one-armed man appeared to Agent Cooper alongside Laura Palmer in the Red Room, Maddie called. I hit pause and sat cross-legged on the sofa, a cushion on my lap.
"Hey, Maddie, how was it?"
"Fucking awful." My back straightened.
"What happened?"
"Turns out he needed to see me ASAP to make sure I didn't make a fuss because he didn't want his frigging wife to find out." I shut my eyes. Oh God, married. "And what's really bad is he really is as hot as I remembered. Fucker. I told him he has nothing to worry about. I'll withdraw my friend request and retreat gracefully."
"Oh, I'm so sorry, Mads."
The one positive was that as I was walking away, I got a message from him saying he really likes me and that I made him laugh. And although this may make him sound bad, he'll be at Mardi Gras next year and is going to keep my number.
"You'll meet him again, even though he's married?"
"No, absolutely not. Definitely not. And even if I did, I mean, no, I won't. But he is really cute."
Uh-huh.
It was validating, though, you know? To get that message, to know we did have a connection, that it wasn't all my imagination. Thanks for encouraging me to do that. I needed that nudge. Anyway, is your Bobby Briggs there? He's in my basement. Please, God, tell me that's a euphemism. Very amusing, Maddie. Jesus, just ask him out, will you? It's not that easy. I'm not good at small talk with new guys. I leaned forward and smeared my finger across the remnants of a cherry filling, coating part of my plate. Which might wrongly imply, said Maddie, that you are skilled at medium to large talk with new guys. Just make a move. Kiss him. Make things happen, Cheryl. How did making things happen work out with Ryan Miller? I asked, pushing my finger in my mouth and licking off the sweet sauce. Before I had the chance to hit play again, I heard garage door Bobby Briggs coming up the stairs from the basement. Buoyed by Maddie and inspired by watching Audrey Horne's sexy turn on Twin Peaks, I felt I had nothing to lose. I stood up, opened the only fastened button on my top, and then quickly moved my hair across the buttonhole to cover the cherry stain I had created. The door to the basement opened. I was standing. Oh God, why was I standing? People don't just stand in rooms. Hey, Cheryl? Garage door Bobby Briggs stepped into the kitchen. He really was objectively gorgeous in my subjective opinion. Yes, I said, trying to sound surprised. I have to run out for a part, then I probably only have an hour left, and you'll be all set. I noticed some tiny dots of sweat along his hairline, and I tried to focus on finding a great line to say. But all I could think about was his salty skin. Okay. Not the most impressive line. His eyes moved downwards towards the coffee table. Looks like you're getting through that pie. I rarely eat sweets. I had no idea why those words left my mouth. I didn't choose them. I don't even talk like that. Garage door Bobby Briggs tipped his head to the side and beamed a grin at me. I smiled back and looked away. You're a funny girl, Cheryl Day. I like you. I didn't trust my mouth at this point, so I kept it closed and focused on smiling. I wish you could teach my wife how to make pies like that. Seriously. Anyway, I'll be back soon. I watched his van reverse out of my driveway and dialed Maddie. When she answered, I didn't wait for her to say hello. He is frigging married, too! No! Maddie screeched, and I detected the slight echo of the speakerphone. Oh no, Cheryl, said Josie. Mom's kept me up to date. Did you try and kiss him? Oh hey, Josie, I said. Yes, married. No kiss attempt. So we have no good news today. Well, said Maddie, her voice light. Go on, I prompted. Turns out, wrong Ryan Miller, number 4, and I have quite a rapport. Wrong Ryan what now? Josie asked. I'll tell you later, said Maddie. He messaged to ask how I came to request to follow him, and we had a bit of a chat. Mom, you have a guy? Josie sounded excited. I'll tell you later, but no, not really, not yet. I walked upstairs to change out of my cherry-stained seduction wear and said, Is he cute? Yeah, his pictures look great and his banter is really fun. Who knows? I pulled off my jeans as I propped the phone between my ear and shoulder. Well, I'm going to get into my comfy clothes now, put my hair up, finish my pie, have some chips and cookies, and binge-watch Twin Peaks until I fall into a food coma. As we hung up, I could hear Josie ask her mom, Well, who's Ryan? When garage door Bobby Briggs returned, I was watching television in my sweats and eating chocolate chip cookies. He let himself in and walked through the living room. his attention caught by the screen where Bobby Briggs was comforting Shelley after Leo had attacked her.
"Twin Peaks, right?" he said, still watching.
"Yep," I answered. "I was a big fan way back when." I never really watched it, but everyone used to say that my brother Harry was a dead ringer for that guy. Jesus, he really did look just like that. Still kind of does, actually. I curled a rope of hair around my finger, tightly winding it so my flesh puffed out in between each strand. Make things happen. I opened my mouth and closed it again. He was still looking at the screen.
"So,"
I said, and he turned towards me. Letting my hair spring free, I pulled a cushion onto my lap and hugged it closely. Make things happen. Avoiding eye contact at all costs, I took a deep breath and said,
"So, I don't suppose he's single?"
That was Bobby Briggs and the Wrong Ryan Miller Collection by Jo Varnish. Having moved from her native England, age 24, Jo now lives in Maplewood, New Jersey. She is the assistant editor at X-Ray Literary Magazine and has been writer-in-residence at L'Atelier Writers in France for 2 years. Jo is currently studying for her MFA and working on her novel while her pit bull sits on her lap. The story was read by Chloe Tannenbaum and the music is by Sam Tannenbaum. If you enjoyed this story, you can find it and many more, as well as life pieces and cartoons, at funnypearls.com.